Well, Luke chapter 24, we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he had told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the leaven and to the rest. Now was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the resurrection, and we thank you for these words that are recorded for us here by your servant Luke, recording for us that great day, that amazing day when Christ rose from the dead. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we look at this passage this morning, that you would open it up to us, that you would help us to understand what is written here and how it applies to our lives, even today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that by your Holy Spirit, by the power of your word, that you would change and transform us, cause us to look more and more to you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I have what some people might consider a selective memory. There are certain things that I tend to remember, and there are certain things that I completely forget. I seem to always remember that the seven dwarfs are Bashful, Doc, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sleepy, and Sneezy. And I can remember that there are 5.08 centimeters in 2 inches. And yet, when it comes to more important things, like my children's birthdays, or maybe my wife's birthday, or other things, I can't always remember those seemingly more important bits of information. I can't always remember what days my children were born on, but I can tell you what I had to eat at the hospital when they were born. I can't always remember when my children were adopted, but I can tell you the hotel that we stayed at the night that we celebrated when they were adopted. In many ways, it seems that the more obsolete, the more less important, maybe, the more trivial a piece of information, the more likely I am to remember it. But those pieces of information that my wife thinks are important, like needing to pick the kids up from school at 3 o'clock, or the fact that Mother's Day, her birthday, and our anniversary are all approaching in the next 2 months, those pieces of information seem to vanish from my mind as quickly as they enter. Perhaps you have the same struggle, that for whatever reason, there are those items, as significant as they may be, from remembering to pay a bill to remembering to take the coffee cup off the top of your car when you get in, those pieces of information simply get forgotten. Well, today is Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the day that we rejoice that our salvation has been sealed, that the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of sins has been accepted by God the Father. Christ has been declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. We are guaranteed that we too will rise from the dead with new glorified bodies, and that we will spend eternity forever with our Savior in glory. And you would think that that is such an important piece of information, that is such an important reality, important fact, that we would never forget that. That that piece of information would never go from our minds, but that it would constantly and consistently be there. How could we forget that Christ rose from the dead? And yet the truth is, the reality is, that there are times when we do forget the resurrection, or at least we act like we forget, as though we've forgotten that Christ is no longer in the tomb and that he is risen. When we're facing some particular crisis in our lives, overwhelmed by life itself, maybe the sickness and death of a loved one, maybe just the circumstances of life when you find yourself up to your elbows in mud because of a broken pipe in your front yard, and you begin to stress and get frustrated. Or maybe there's something spiritually that's bothering you, something, a sin that continues to bother you, or some symptom of the brokenness of our world, and we're wrestling with physical defeat, we're wrestling with spiritual defeat, we're wrestling with just those circumstances, frustrated, defeated, and in those moments we can forget that this too will pass, and that Christ has been raised from the dead, and that he has defeated sin, and defeated hell, and defeated Satan and defeated the brokenness of this world, and that the power which raised Christ from the dead is now with us, is now working in you and I, and that God has and is accomplishing His plan of salvation. He is making us holy. And that the resurrection is a testimony to the fact that God has forgiven our sin and that we will be forever with Him. And yet at those moments, those dark moments, those overwhelming moments when we're just downpressed by the circumstances of life, we can forget even the truth of Easter. And yet the glorious truth of our passage this morning here in Luke chapter 24 is that in the midst of our forgetfulness, God in His grace reminds us. He reminds us of the truth of the resurrection. He reminds us that Christ is risen. That's what we see taking place here in these 12 verses. Luke tells us that the ladies, the same ladies that were mentioned at the end of chapter 23, who saw where Jesus was buried, they go to anoint His body. We're told in verse 10, it's Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and some others. And they come to anoint His body, but they realize they're not going to be able to roll the tomb away. Mark includes for us in his gospel this little discussion as to how they're going to get rid of the large stone in front of the tomb. And yet when they come, we're told here in verse 2 that the stone has already been rolled away. It's already been moved. They don't have to worry about that obstacle. But what's more amazing and more perplexing, Luke tells us in verse 3, is that they can't find the body of Jesus. It's not there. It's empty. The tomb is empty. The body is gone. They're perplexed. They don't know why this is. Why is there no body? Even the Pharisees, according to Matthew 28, admit that the tomb is empty because they make up this story about how the disciples stole His body. Nobody knows where the body is. So whether you're a Roman leader, whether you're a Jewish leader, whether you're one of the disciples, the historical factual reality is that there is no body in the tomb. The tomb is empty. The body is gone, which is naturally confusing for these women. You go to a tomb, you expect to find a body. Where is the body? The women, according to verse 4, are perplexed. They're at a loss. They're confused. What is going on? This is bizarre. There's supposed to be a body in this tomb. And just recently, even in the Valley of the Kings over in Egypt, archaeologists have uncovered a new tomb. It's actually Tomb 63. That's the first tomb they've discovered in over 80 years. Tomb 62 is the more famous one. That's the tomb of King Tut. But Tomb 63 is found. It's found. It's covered in coffins. There are coffins all over this tomb. The perplexing thing is there's no body in it. All of those coffins are empty. The tomb itself is empty, and archaeologists don't know what to do with an empty tomb. Why have coffins if there's no body? Why even bother to dig a tomb if there's no body? It doesn't make sense, even to archaeologists. Why have an empty tomb? And that's the confusion that these women are having. Why have an empty tomb? There's supposed to be a body here, and yet there isn't. Jesus' body is gone. They saw it laid there earlier. Where did it go? Did the disciples steal it? That's a lie that caught on from the Pharisees. And yet, according to Luke and the other gospel writers, not one of Jesus' disciples actually remembers that Jesus said He was going to rise from the dead. It's a great theory to say that they stole the body to make it look like Jesus rose from the dead, except that they don't ever seem to remember that He actually said that. They wouldn't steal a body to make it look like something that they can't remember. And yet Jesus did say that He would rise from the dead, and the disciples should have remembered. Jesus said, using somewhat of a metaphor at the beginning of the book of John, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And yet the disciples don't remember that, even though the witnesses at Jesus' trial remember that. They actually use an accusation against Him. "This man says He'll destroy the temple and raise it up." And you would think that maybe these disciples hearing these accusations, it would at least jog their memories, especially John, who was apparently there. They would at least hear these accusations and say, "Oh, I remember Him saying that." And not just that statement, Jesus flat out, with very little confusing language, tells them several times, "I will be raised from the dead." And we know at least the Pharisees were listening because they feared that. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, "The Son of Man may suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Jesus even told them what day He was going to rise on. Again, Luke 18:33, after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. And now here they are, it's the third day, the very day that Jesus mentioned. It's Easter Sunday, and nobody can remember where Jesus is. Nobody can figure out why he's not in the tomb. He's not here because he said he wouldn't be here. When I was a freshman in college, I had a particular Monday morning class that the professor never showed up for. We waited about 20, 25 minutes, and we decided if the professor wasn't coming, we weren't staying either. And so all of us left, went back to our dorms. And yet when we met on Wednesday, we asked the professor, "Where were you? Why weren't you here on Monday?" He just laughed at us because out of a class of 20 people, not one of us remembered that the previous Friday he told us the class was canceled on Monday. You would think, especially as college students who love it when class is canceled, you would think that we would remember there's no class on Monday. And yet none of us could remember. You would think that Jesus here saying something that's never been done before, "I am going to rise from the dead," that at least one disciple, one follower, would hear what Jesus is saying and file away that bit of information that Jesus says he's going to rise from the dead. You would think that after Jesus not once but repeatedly spoke about this, that they would remember. And no one does. Instead, the women simply stand there in the tomb, perplexed, wondering, where'd the body go? But this is really where we begin to see the grace of God. Because verse 4 tells us that two angels speak to these ladies. Two angels in verse 6 say to the ladies, "Remember, remember." Now, there's a bit of a literary irony here because the ladies, we're told, both in verse 1 and verse 2, are standing in a tomb. And in Greek, the word tomb has the same root as the word remember. We've simply brought the word for tomb over into English as monument. It's a reminder. One might even call a tomb a remembrance or a memory marker. A tomb was supposed to be a place where the grieving were reminded about the life of their lost loved one. And yet these women are standing in the monument. They're standing in the reminder to Jesus, reflecting upon his life, and they can't remember what Jesus said in his lifetime until the angels say to them, "Remember, remember, he told you he's going to be in Galilee. He must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, rise." And then we're told in verse 8, then the ladies remember. And the ladies recall Jesus' words, and they understand, oh, that's why Jesus isn't here. He's alive. We know this story. We read it almost every Easter. But I want you to think for just a moment, why were there two angels at the tomb? We know, of course, that the angels rolled the stone back. We know that the angels made the soldiers who were guarding the tomb fall over like dead men. But why did the angels stick around? And why did they think that it was important for them to appear to a group of ladies? Jesus is not in the tomb. He's risen. And eventually the disciples are going to go home. And eventually Jesus is going to appear in their midst to them all in the upper room. Jesus is even going to appear in a few minutes to Mary Magdalene, according to John chapter 20. So why have two angels begin telling these women that Jesus is alive when in just a matter of hours they're going to know all that information anyway? If you give it a few hours after the road to Emmaus journey and after Jesus appears to these disciples, everyone will know. So why have two angels tell these ladies? Even the message of these ladies to the disciples is not believed. There in verse 11, the disciples think they're making up idle tales, a made-up story, a tall tale. And given the culture of the day, the testimony of the women amongst the Jewish culture in those days was not considered reliable. In fact, it wasn't even admissible in court because it was deemed unreliable. So why have these angels tell these women about the resurrection if it was going to accomplish very little for the disciples? And if the women are going to find out about it anyway in just a short period of time? I think the answer is only the grace of God. That God in his grace, not because God had to, not because God was obligated to, not because it accomplished some incredibly large, humongous, earth-changing event, but solely because of his grace, in his love and his care for these women who had followed Jesus all these years, these perplexed women, God chose in his grace to send them a reminder. to give them a little nudge to help them recall the words of Christ, so that they might no longer be perplexed, but instead remember and rejoice that Jesus is alive. Sure, they'd find out in a few hours anyway, but God in His grace wanted them to know now. He wanted them to know that Jesus is no longer here, that the tomb is gloriously empty, that it is an incredible reminder that Jesus no longer needs a tomb, that He's alive and the tomb is unnecessary. This incredible reminder that these women initially missed, and yet in the grace of God is explained to them by these angels, sent by God to remind these women of the reality of the resurrection. I mean, you'll notice there at the end of the passage, in verses 11 and 12, Peter is given no such reminder. Peter runs to the tomb at the words of these women. He peeks into the tomb. He sees the linen. And then he just goes home marveling. He goes home in awe. And yet, according to the Gospel of John, he still doesn't quite realize what's happening. It's not until later on in chapter 24 here in Luke, verse 36, that Peter finally, after the road to Emmaus, sees Jesus, and finally it all makes sense. Peter, for whatever reason, is not given the same reminder by these angels. He's not given the same nudge that the women are given. We can speculate all sorts of reasons why. Perhaps Peter, of all people, having seen the transfiguration of Christ earlier, having seen the glory of Christ on the mountain, Peter certainly should have known better. But whatever the reason, God in His grace singled out these women to give them a reminder so that they're not left in confusion, they're not left perplexed, but they're told clearly Jesus is alive, to remind them of Jesus' words so they're no longer forgetting, but instead might have faith that Christ is risen from the dead. The truth, as we have said this morning, is that we all forget. We all fail to remember at one time or another, and for various circumstances, we all fail at one time or another to forget the resurrection. As life's circumstances weigh upon us, as the busyness of life overwhelms us and distracts us, we can forget that Christ is not in the grave, but that He's alive, and that He is with us by the same power that raised Him from the dead. He will never leave us or forsake us. We can forget that victory is ours, the glorious news of the resurrection is ours, the power of the resurrection, the power of the cross is ours. And all of this dark, sinful, messy world has been defeated. Our own dark, sinful, messy hearts have been defeated. We are forgiven of our sins. We are being made new. We are going to be given new spiritual bodies, even as we've been given new spiritual bodies in light of the glorious reality of the resurrection. And yet, like these women, like Peter, we often forget these truths. We forget the reality of the resurrection. And yet, we're not left in our forgetfulness. Because God, in His grace, does not simply wait for us to remember. He doesn't figure, well, you're eventually going to figure it out, so I'll just wait. No, He graciously reminds us. Just as He does with these women, God reminds us. He reminds us with His Word. Even as He reminds the women there in verse 8, where it says, they remember God in His grace has given us the very words of Christ, the story of the resurrection in the pages of Scripture, the words of our Bibles that we might read and remember and be told from beginning to end the plan of God's salvation and how the resurrection is a part of that. God has given us the sacraments, even as we'll partake in a few moments, telling us, do this in remembrance of me. Why in remembrance? Because we forget. We forget the body of Christ broken. We forget His blood spilt. We need to be reminded of our need for the spiritual feeding of Christ, the same feeding that we receive when we read Scripture. God giving us His grace, the grace that we desperately need. The grace that we need is God is making us holy and transforming us, strengthening us, sustaining us. Every time we see a baptism, we're reminded of the seal of baptism that is upon us, pointing us to the truth, the reality of the gospel, the washing with the blood of Christ, even as we've been washed with the water, reminding us that we've been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, are being called to faith in that death and resurrection. We also have the words of one another, even as Peter here had the words of these women. Yeah, he doesn't really listen to them, but he at least was prompted to go and look at the tomb and to see for himself because of their words to him. It often seems when we are at our lowest, when we are in despair, when we feel as though we can't go on, that we realize that we have one another. And somebody comes into our lives and speaks those words of encouragement and reminds us of the truth of the gospel, reminds us of the truth that Christ has conquered all, even death itself by his resurrection. We have one another, we have the church, we have our fellow Christians to come alongside us and encourage us with the words of Christ, the good news, reminding us that we are not alone. Christ is with us, risen from the dead and with us. I mean, isn't that why we're here this morning? We are here this morning to celebrate together, to rejoice together that Christ is alive, that he is truly risen. And by the grace of God, we have one another to remind us of that truth, but it also reminds us that we need to be reminding one another, telling others of the gospel message, telling others that Jesus is alive. Telling others that Jesus Christ was crucified for the forgiveness of sins, raised again that we might have eternal life. That is the message that we are to be proclaiming. It's the message that we're proclaiming this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard that message before. And you've never heard the truth that you and I deserve to die for our sins. We deserve to face eternal wrath, the curse of God forever, in the flames of hell. But Christ took all that on himself. He died in our place. He took the curse of God upon himself so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made holy, so that we could be adopted into God's family, that just as Christ rose, we too might someday rise to eternal life. Hear the words that we're proclaiming this morning. Please don't leave here this morning. If you've never believed in that message, please don't leave here without speaking to one of us how we can tell you how Christ has died and risen again for the forgiveness of sins. But if you have believed, still here, be reminded that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I mean, isn't that the point of today, to be reminded? Yes, we're celebrating, but he's risen. We need that reminder. And really, if you stop and think about it, the resurrection is no more true today than it was yesterday or tomorrow. It's no more true than it will be true next Sunday. It's not just today, Easter Sunday, that we're reminded, but really every Lord's Day. Since the very reason that we worship on a Sunday rather than the Old Testament Sabbath of Saturday in the Old Testament is because Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. Really every Lord's Day, one day out of every seven, is a gift of God's grace. A day to pause and to be reminded that Christ has died for our forgiveness. That Christ is alive, he's been raised for our salvation. God, in his grace, knowing that we forget, knowing who we are as human beings, knowing that we are like the women in this passage, we are like the disciples, we need reminders. And he gives us those reminders, reminding us again and again of the truth that Jesus is alive. And yet when we neglect these, when we neglect these means of grace, when we stop gathering with other believers, when we stop coming to church regularly, when we fail to be present to participate in the sacraments, when we neglect the reading of God's Word, we forget. We forget because we've neglected those reminders. So rather than resolving not to forget, rather than just saying, no, this time I'm going to remember, we need to realize, no, we are a forgetful people, and we will forget. And instead, we need to realize we need these reminders. We need to confess that we forget, but then praise God and thank God that in his grace he's given us reminders. Not just thanking him for them, but taking advantage of these reminders, using them, using his means of grace, allowing them to remind us again and again of the truth that Christ is not in the grave. He is alive. We are forgiven. We are destined for heaven. And even now, even as we often live frustrating lives, we are not alone. Because Christ has risen from the dead, he is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Be reminded, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your gracious reminders to us, reminding us that Christ is risen, risen indeed. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we live in light of that glorious truth. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.